Hey mamas, welcome to Breastfeeding Relief with Bethany. We share incredible stories, tips, and breastfeeding ideas to help on your journey. I'm your host, Bethany Laverne, a lactation consultant and speech therapist who helps mamas with breastfeeding. Not all breastfeeding stories are the same, and we dive into those topics. Welcome to another episode of Breastfeeding Relief with Bethany. Today, I'm so excited to have Gigi join us. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Bethany. I am honored to be here. So excited to start my day chatting with you.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and share with our audience a little bit about yourself?
So I am Gigi. I have three children and I'm a doula. I am full spectrum, but I love the postpartum phase. It's like my jam. I could prepare everybody for postpartum. I think it's important to prep for birth, but postpartum is often forgotten. And so I feel like it's my mission to get people to care about postpartum, to prepare for postpartum, and to make postpartum care accessible.
Yeah, I just love that because you're right. We do forget about postpartum. Like, we're so excited about the baby. We get everything ready for the baby. I feel like us mamas are forgotten about because even it's the calls of, can I come over and hold the baby? Could someone come over and make me a meal? Would be great.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a lot of my job. I'm also a newborn care specialist and a lactation educator. And while those things are kind of focused on babies, I definitely am passionate about getting new parents to just care about themselves. And it doesn't have to be crazy complicated, as it doesn't have to be really expensive. But I think when we invest in our own healing postpartum, we're set up for success.
Absolutely. That's wonderful advice. So since we talk about breastfeeding on here and you have three kiddos, why don't you share your experience with breastfeeding?
Yes, I had night and day experience with my children. So with my first, I had a very easy pregnancy, birth, postpartum. I had the whole village that we talk about. My friends and family, they flooded over. They made me food. They took care of me. They took my baby. And I had a little bit of struggles figuring out how to get my oldest son to latch. And I was lucky enough to be, I'm really close to a hospital, and they had a meetup with IBCLCs. And so I went to those, you know, I hung out there a few times. I had them. I wasn't so much stressed about weight. I was more stressed about, like, am I doing this right? So I wanted an IBCLC to just kind of observe. And I would say that didn't help as much. It kind of got the hang of it, but I was really scared to just kind of grab him the way I do so easily now. I hadn't really done that before, to just kind of grab him and put him on. I was a little passive. I wanted him to do the work. So finally, a family friend who is a postpartum nurse came over and she was like, I'm going to put my hand on your hand and get him to latch. And it worked. And I realized I just wasn't really taking control of getting my baby to do a good job of latching. And so once we figured out that little snafu, that was maybe like 2 weeks in, it was smooth sailing from there. And I fed him, I don't even remember how long, like 8-9 months, and then pumping at work and all that stuff. It was so much work. And I didn't have any kind of negative feelings about it. I was ready to be done at that point. It was a lot, but we had a really good feeding relationship. And then my twins, I didn't have these beautiful visions of like tandem feeding my twins. I think I was so shocked by the fact that I was having twins. I couldn't process like this image that now I'm like, oh, that's so nice. Or I have clients that have twins and I'm like, oh, it's so nice that they're tandem feeding. I was just thinking about keeping them alive. Mm-hmm. And then they were born March 2020. And so we were in the NICU. I was in the NICU by myself with them because my husband had to leave because of the start of the pandemic here. And I had OTs come down. I had IBCLCs come down. And really, it was that the pressure to get them out of the hospital, in my mind, kind of superseded getting them to latch. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't worried about it. I was like, when I get home, everything will be opened back up and I'll be able to go to these same kind of meetings. And that just wasn't the case. So I got home. We didn't have Zoom yet. We didn't know what we were doing. And so I was lucky in the hospital to be pumping and to they qualified for donor milk. So I was using donor milk and we just fed them with bottles. And when I was home, I thought an IBCLC would be able to pop over pretty soon. And that obviously was not the case. There was nothing. Zoom wasn't even around yet for us to use. So I just pumped and I pumped and I pumped and I pumped and I pumped forever to the point where I was starting to kind of get anxiety about it. And I realized maybe I was taking it a little too far. I was, you know, pumping at the expense of my mental health. So then I slowed down a little bit. I added in formula and donor milk. They were already having some fortified formula because they were 3 pounds. They were teeny weeny when they were born. So we were already adding stuff in. And probably around the 4 month mark, I pulled back a little bit on the pumping and we just kind of super combo fed. I had a friend who was nursing her little guy and she brought me milk. I qualified for donor milk. I pumped and I used formula. So that was a crazy journey of night and day feeding.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for sharing that. I mean, I think one, it was hard. It was the pandemic, right? Like I also had a baby during the pandemic and I remember asking people to like come over. We ended up moving in the middle of the pandemic and people were like, no, we can't come over. We can't have the germs in your house. And I'm like, but I need someone to help me pack my kitchen and I've got two littles and okay, I'll be up till 3 a.m. packing my kitchen. That's fine. Thank you. You know, so I totally get it, but I loved that, you know, your friend was able to help, but you know, you made it work. And that's one thing I love about this podcast is not every journey's the same. And it's okay to use formula. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to use donor milk. And if it's hurting you mentally, then it's okay to stop.
Yeah, definitely. That's how I felt. And I think with everything going on, I felt like this is the one thing I can, other than keeping them alive and keeping my toddler alive and just like getting through the day at the start of a pandemic, this felt like something I could do for them. And probably a little bit of guilt about them being in the NICU. You know, there was so many feelings going on. And I'm glad that I was able to kind of listen to myself. It maybe took a little longer than it should have. I was like forcing myself through. I walked around with my little Spectra around the house, just from plug to plug to plug. Mm-hmm. And that was a big part of my life. I'm happy that I did it because, you know, it taught me a lot about, you know, feeding. It taught me a lot about parenting, but also I'm glad that I could listen to myself and say that was enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's go back and talk about before we have our baby, we always make these cute registries with, you know, everything pink, everything blue, the cribs, the boppies, all the things. What we also need to remember, us mamas need some stuff too. So what can we put on there for our postpartum recovery?
Yes, I look at all of my clients' registries if they're comfortable with it. And I am a big advocate for adding services to your registry, which a lot of people, they maybe don't feel comfortable doing. I think registries are definitely changing. But back, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, people would ask their boss or their in-laws for a fancy stroller or a nice crib or a dresser or changing table. But now I'm seeing more of my clients add services and things for themselves. So my favorite things to add would be a doula, a lactation course. And so the doula could be birth or postpartum, but even asking people to donate to a doula fund, a lactation course, because we know feeding, it doesn't start. You have to have the education beforehand. You have to know what normal feeding looks like and feels like, and to know what the red flags are before your baby arrives. If not, you're tired, right? Maybe a nice postpartum massage, something like belly binding. I am an advocate for belly binding. I think it's great for postpartum healing. It's also great to support you know, if you're sitting up straight and your core is supported, you're not going to have the same pains that I often see with my clients of them hunched over. It's hard. It's a harder to hunch over when you're wrapped up tight. So I would say doula, lactation education, postpartum massage. And then for products that you can add on for postpartum recovery, I would say we think about nursing bras and clothes, like really tight things, but often that's not great. It's not great for our skin. It's not great for our baby's skin. And it's just like uncomfortable. We're sweating usually a lot postpartum. So I would say add on some nice, cozy, loose kind of cotton clothing, something to let your skin breathe. You can also add in food, add in meal delivery. So I'm seeing that so much more, a meal delivery service or a meal train or just things to stay hydrated and food to eat. We can't make great milk for our babies if we're not hydrated and nourished. So definitely add food and then some nice, you know, cute things to make your day better postpartum, something like a little sitz bath or a foot soak. And luckily, thanks to companies like Frida, I'm seeing a lot more people put these things on their registries.
I agree. Yeah, I do like that Frida now has packages that you can put on there that you're like, oh, I would have never thought about that. But yeah, you are kind of in a diaper, ladies. Like you need these big pads afterwards. I was like, I won't need that. Oh, I needed that, you know?
Yeah, I know. We don't really think, we're thinking about baby.
Right.
We're thinking about the nursery. We're thinking about the space, but none of those things matter if we aren't taken care of. Mm-hmm. So if you can add on products or services that are investing in yourself, then you're, you know, better suited to take care of your baby. You're going to have the energy. You're not going to feel that same level of resentment or guilt or all of these feelings that can come up postpartum.
Yeah. And I love that you said even food delivery or drinks. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, they could deliver a case of Gatorade, a case of body armor. That would be absolutely fantastic to have stored away in your house.
Yeah. And we're very lucky, like in the area that I'm at, that you can get like postpartum specific meals. Maybe it's like a traditional Chinese meal plan or an Ayurvedic meal plan or like a protein heavy meal plan. We have a lot of people here delivering, you know, food, and along with that can come teas. And so what I love to do for clients is convince them to buy bulk herbs, you know, things like nettle or chamomile. And we have it on hand and we just make a big pot of tea every morning and, you know, strain it and you have tea for the whole day. And tea or a drink that's going to really hydrate you, nourish you, help you make milk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to go back to belly binding real fast.
Yeah.
I did not belly bind with my first son. I did have a doula. I was not made aware of this. I'm not sure if she knew or not. But with my second doula, because my first one moved, I was super sad about it. So then with my second one, she offered the service. It was an extra add-on of belly binding and teaching me. That was a game changer. I think one, because it's your second one, I feel like you've maybe expanded more. You feel so much bigger, right? But I just remember being like, oh, I feel like everything is put in place today. Like,
yeah, that is exactly how it feels. Most of my clients will say it just feels like a really warm hug.
Yes.
It's great for circulation. It's great for posture. It's great when paired with, and I'm not sure if your doula did this, but I recommend just a really nice womb rub. You can be kind of triggered thinking of like a fundal massage where the nurses are like pushing on you and it doesn't feel good. This is a much nicer version of that. But we have kind of digestive issues postpartum. And we also have a lot of feelings from birth or previous trauma just kind of hanging out in our womb. So a nice womb rub will help with digestion. It helps, you know, move things along. It helps with circulation. It helps you kind of become aware of your uterus and helping your pelvic floor. The belly bind will lift that up. So to me, I think they should always be paired. I want them all to be paired. And the womb rub is something that I teach clients to do to themselves. You know, my background, my training is Ayurvedic, where you use warming oils postpartum as a daily self massage. And I still do it. I get out of the shower and I use a nice oil. And it's just for circulation, lymphatic drainage. And it just feels really nice a moment throughout the day. I have three kids. I work. I need like 5 minutes just to like not have them near me. And I'm able to just take care of myself.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I still shower at night, which I know sounds strange, but I'm not like a sweater, so it's fine. But I shower at night because all my kids are in bed and I have that time to myself. You know, I can take as long as the shower as I want. I can shave my legs and I'm not like, you know, running out of the shower with soap still in my hair because someone's screaming. So that's something I like to do personally for myself that I've just stayed with that routine.
That sounds really nice. Sometimes I shower at night. A lot of times I shower. I will put on, like, I give my oldest the remote and I'm like, put on one show. I trust you. Don't let the twins change the channel and put on something crazy. You're in charge. Let me go shower. But I'm always listening. I'm like, are they running away? What are they doing out there?
Right.
Hope for the best.
Right. Yeah.
Not relaxing.
Perfect. So, also on these registries, of course, we put on breastfeeding items. Now, however, I knew I wanted to breastfeed, but I also wanted my husband to give a bottle sometimes so we could go on date night or different things. And I just remember looking at a few other people's registries and just being so overwhelmed on. I don't know. Will I need it? I don't know. Let's go ahead and toss it on and see if it works. So, what are some of your advice that you should definitely put on your registry?
Yeah, and that feeling is something everybody feels. You are overwhelmed by the options. And if you look at like an ideal registry or you look at someone else's registry, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know if you're choosing the right products. And that's really why I work with my clients on their registries because I know that this is a multi-billion dollar industry and they're preying on us to feel that way. They want you to feel overwhelmed. They want you to feel that to be a good parent, you need to have the elite products for everything when you don't need all of these things. There are definitely areas I splurge, but a lot of these things we probably can get away with not doing. And bottles is a good example of that. The sample packs with 50 types of bottles. I would do a little bit of research, look at the bottles, see what you like. I prefer glass, just because if you're heating up a bottle, I don't really love the idea of heating up a plastic bottle. And then I would try to get a smaller nipple size, maybe like a preemie or a newborn. Get a few of those, but you don't need 50 bottles. You really don't. You can get a few depending on how much. Obviously, my twins had, dozens of bottles in comparison to my oldest, who had like four. And then other things that you can add for feeding in terms of products, I think of like those soothing gel packs. I loved those that you can heat up or cool down. I would definitely chat with an IBCLC or CLES in terms of guiding yourself through the heating or freezing those packs. Nursing pads, the silver discs. Food safe nipple butter, a Hakka. I think a Hakka is like a game changer. They did not have that when my oldest was born, and I wish I did have that so I didn't leak all over myself. And then a good nursing pillow is a great product, but you don't need a million products to do anything. You just truly don't. You could probably cut the products in half and add in some services. Get belly binding, get a doula, get a lactation education class, get yourself a massage or a facial or whatever you feel like getting, but invest in yourself over 50 types of products for feeding.
Absolutely. I do want to add to, I love your bottle advice. I do want to add to that and say, mamas, you also get confused with all the flows. Make sure it is slow flow because I say, if you still want to breastfeed, never turn up the flow rate because your breast will never turn up the flow rate just because your child's 8 months old. It won't go, oh, we're going to speed up today. We hit medium, right? We hit
Yeah.
fast.
Totally. And investing in that lactation education class, or having a doula or an IBCLC come check on you postpartum, is going to help, because you'll know about slow-paced feeding. You'll know how to properly, for in my experience, a lot of that is like wrangling a grandparent to get them to hold baby upright and feed them appropriately. So you'll know about that, and you'll have the language to explain, oh, this is why we want baby to be able to go back and forth. And if when they have a bottle, they're having it shoved down their throat with a size 2 nipple, and then the next day I want them to go slow and wait for a letdown, they won't. So you'll have the language to explain that in, grandparents' layman's terms, to teach them the appropriate way to feed their baby.
Yeah, that's such good advice. I think that is hard as a society. Not that long ago, like our parents, they were kind of given bottles, and then we've switched back to being more homesteading, more crunchy, more, whatever you want to call it. And we're back to home births, and doing breastfeeding again. And so our parents and grandparents are like, no, I'll just give them a bottle with formula. And you're like, no, can you please respect my wishes? I have frozen milk. Like, that wasn't a thing. You weren't pumping and freezing milk back in the 1920s. That wasn't a thing. You had the wet nurses. And so now everything's kind of changed. And so sometimes, kindly suggesting things is always wonderful, because you do want date night. So, I always kept, even though I wasn't a huge pumper, that Hakka's nice to collect some stuff. Usually I only collected an ounce. I had a friend that could collect 5 ounces every time. Every mom is different, but that ounce is amazing. So if you do that all week, that's 7 ounces. Hello, date night. Here we come.
Yeah, exactly. And locally at my hospital, when my oldest when I was pregnant with my oldest, my parents went and took a grandparent class,
Wonderful.
which was great because I didn't have to say any of those things to them. A nurse over there did it. So I would highly recommend if there is something like that. But if not, that's a big part of my job as a doula, is the education. So I am, gently chatting with grandparents. I'm saying, oh, well, research actually shows this now, and they're going to take it a lot better from me than somebody who's trained, than probably their daughter or daughter-in-law or son-in-law. And so that's another perk of having a doula. Or let them sit in on a lactation class, let them see what's going on. And I really believe that if we're, investing in ourselves, and we're investing in like the good quality education, then it's going to pay off.
Absolutely, 100%. So, why don't you also share with our mamas one piece of advice you have about breastfeeding?
Have so many. I
Oh,
would say
sorry.
it's prenatal. Prenatally, take a good class and be prepared with an IBCLC that's local, that accepts your insurance, that you kind of vibe with. That would be prenatally, that's my biggest advice. Be prepared, because you do not want to be searching for an IBCLC. Or I had a conversation with a client about this week, that the number of purchases and, of a sleep course or a feeding course that happened at 2 a.m., it's astounding, I'm sure. I don't have the data, but I know my clients are researching sleep classes at 3 a.m. So if you have an IBCLC on hand, you know they can come for a visit, or you can go to one of those classes, do that prenatally. And then postpartum, what we forget about is investing in ourselves. So if you are nourished, if you are hydrated, then you will be able to make milk. So working with an IBCLC makes a big difference in that. I'm not going to say everybody can just make, gallons of milk, but you're definitely not going to be able to make the milk if you are not eating.
Absolutely.
So if that's having meals on hand, if that's having someone deliver food, but making sure you're eating warming, easily digestible food and really hydrating drinks. The Western culture of have a smoothie and a salad, or, all of these cold things, it's not great for our healing, for our body. It's not great. It's not going to help you lose weight. it's just going to make you more have more digestive issues and just not feel like you're going to heal as quickly. So invest in yourself and ask for help if you need it. If you're struggling, I was struggling. I would ask, I've never had a problem asking for support and guidance. Find an IBCLC, find a support group, do a Zoom meeting with an IBCLC, get the help to figure it out, to make your feeding journey what you want it to be.
Absolutely. So I will let you mamas know that you can come connect with me. I can work with you one-on-one. I do support you for 30 days because one visit I feel usually isn't enough. You usually have a great visit. You leave 2 a.m. Like you said, you're up and you have, oh, I forgot to ask this question, but now I have to go back to her, right? So come work with me. I work with you for 30 days. And you can send me all the messages you want. It's HIPAA compliant. You can also send me pictures and videos. But instead of buying stuff at 2 a.m., please let me know your questions and I will get back to you. And share with you advice. I will send you some research or how you can help. If you're worried, we can talk about how much milk you're making, like if you're pumping, if you're discouraged about that, or if you're trying to get a freezer stash, right? Like, please ask me all your questions. Don't just hang out on Dr. Google. So,
I definitely agree with that. Help. I love that it's for 30 days. I agree that you have one session and it's not always enough.
Yeah. So I'm not, I don't live where everyone's at. I can't do a weighted feed for you. Like you live over in California. I'm here in Indiana, right? And so I can also help you find a lactation consultant for you to go get a weighted feed or, do something if you need a little more help that way. So, but yeah.
I love that.
Thank you. So, mamas, we're so excited to have you on today, Gigi.
Thank you.
So please let everyone know how they can connect with you.
Yes, I am at my website, asimplehome.org, and I also host a podcast, Ready for Baby. We talk all things pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and I have wonderful guests over there. You can learn from them, learn from me, and yeah, connect with me on Instagram, A Simple Home.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you love this episode, it would mean so much if you would share it with another mama or post on social media and tag me. I want to personally thank you for wanting to help other mamas. You got this. I'm rooting for your breastfeeding journey.